direction in a sea of chaos. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon as we open the Word of God.
Well, we are so very thankful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. If you had tuned in last week, you know we started a sort of sub-series in Ephesians on the role of the Christian wife, a marriage and the family sort of series. Well, this week on Abounding Grace, we tackle the subject of the role of the Christian husband, the role of the male as God had defined it from the beginning. And just to sort of set the context, last week we considered the great damage that feminism has brought to the marriage institution. It is a direct attack on God's way, His plan, and original design for what the marriage should reflect. From the beginning, God created the woman to be the helpmeet for the man, to be submissive as to the Lord, and to be a pattern of godliness. As 1 Peter 3 says, a gentle and a quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of the Lord. But feminism, facilitating the curse for dominance and liberation, has left us in a very grave situation. Creating a society of strong, coarse, domineering women so far outside of the roles that God has defined and outlined that the very foundation of the marriage institution is under attack, and as we considered last week, crumbling right before our eyes. The call, of course, that we considered in that series is for the woman to return to the roles that God had set up from the beginning. A beautiful role, one that promotes the nurturing care and protection from her husband. Well, this morning we consider the opposite side of the coin, if you will. We have to say that feminism and women's liberation, emancipation, independence, whatever form it might take, is not something that has arisen in its own right. It is the result of something else that is the product of negligence elsewhere. It is a reaction against a breakdown at the top, if you will. And this morning we must say that any abandonment of the God-given roles on the part of the woman is a byproduct of the failure of the man to exercise the roles that God has outlined for him. God has given to man the responsibility to lead in the home, to be the head, to spiritually care for and nourish his own family. A responsibility so great that God says it models and pictures his sacrificial love that he has for his spiritual family, the church. A love so great that Christ willingly subjected himself to the cross for his spiritual bride. Then God ordained the husband's love for his wife to pattern such love that he has shown in his son, in his love, in giving his life for his body, his bride, the church. So today the picture really before us as we've considered marriage in the family is a sad one. And there is a decrying of the lamentable lack and abandonment of the man to spiritually lead and care for his home, especially his wife. We might start today by asking, what has happened? Where is the biblical man anymore? Where are the spiritual sort of giants who lead in the home? It has almost become socially acceptable for the man to neglect the home life so long as he is successful outside of the home. And as the world continues to shelf Barnes & Noble with book after book about marital success and love, the same sad story always seems to appear. The woman decrying because there's simply no relationship with or leadership of her husband. He is a work giant. He is greatly successful at making money. He does well in his own job and his business. He is timely. He is productive. He is successful in all of his agendas and all of his appointments outside of the home. He seems to converse well with everyone else other than his family. And when, after a hard day of work, He just wants to be left alone. Ironically, as passive as he is, as aggressive as he is in the workplace, the home is the place where he is completely passive, uncaring, unnurturing, not molding of the family that the Lord has given and entrusted to his care as the spiritual head. Now, this language I read and hear about is expressed by so many today who are writing on the negligence of the role of men. And really, society pictures this for us well. This morning, we consider just what God expects of the Christian husband in terms of his relationship with his wife. God has said a lot about this. He has given great instruction on how husbands are to function in their roles, and the responsibility is simply huge. The man who willingly takes to himself a wife and then with her raises children is the one accountable for the family, is the one whom the Lord is coming to for that accountability. Every man who heads his home will have to give an account for how he has led in his own family. He is the one who bears the responsibility. And this morning, in light of Ephesians chapter 5, my first point is to show us here and have us consider that God calls the Christian husband to have this self-sacrificial love for his wife. Let's pick up at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, what a calling. Here the Lord himself, through the apostle, calls husbands to love their wives. How? Well, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Now, if this were a lesser comparison, or if the call was to stand in its own right, we might not live with as much concern, but this is no slack comparison. This is no slack picture that we're given here. The Lord calls us, husbands, to have our love model and represent the love that Jesus Christ has shown to his bride, the church. Now, I, for one, like to think by way of the opposite side, or the opposite side of the coin, if you will. Here we're told that from the beginning, the marriage institution was designed and purposed to reflect the gospel. When the Lord gave the command, therefore, at the beginning, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. When he said this, he was setting up an institution from the very creation of the world that would be a visible model before all of what salvation means and what Christ's sacrificial love for his church would look like. So, right out of the gate, we see that the marriage relationship hangs and is dependent on the husband's love for the wife. Notice, it's always fascinating to me that Paul doesn't call the woman to love the man. Last week we considered what he said to the woman. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. He calls the wife to submit. And the reason for that is very clear. She's wired and she is created to be a responding vessel to the love that the man shows to her. And it's here that the gospel really becomes quite clear. Think of what's being presented. Think of what's being said to us today. In this context, we're struck with the fact that the curse that happened at the fall is a direct hit, an attack on the original roles that God had set up, so that the full consequences of the man and the woman's choice in the fall now bring about a certain turmoil in the marriage relationship. This is what has made the marriage relationship hard. This is what has made it a struggle between the man and the woman. There is now, simply put, a conflict of interest. Think again with me of Genesis chapter 3. We go back to this curse in verse 16. And here we need to be reminded that God had given over the man and the woman to their own lusts. Well, last week we considered the fact that Eve was deceived by stepping out of her role, trying to control her husband. And God gave the woman over to this desire as part of that curse. Sin's desire was for Cain. So notice there's something there that the Lord said, your desire shall be for your husband. Something inborn. something now wired in the woman as part of the curse, that she has a sinful desire to control her husband that belongs to her sinful nature. And so as the New Testament outlines her salvation, and as that return is given in the gospel, returning to the roles that God has ordained for her to be submissive with a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. What happened to the man, though? What now does he have to correct by the gospel, by the power of the gospel? What now needs to be returned to in the man's relationship and responsibility to the woman? Well, the first question we have to ask is, where was Adam when Eve was deceived? You know, was Adam out there somewhere? If you think carefully of Genesis 3, verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, "You will surely not die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened." Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Listen, she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Did you consider that? The sense that we get is that he was not absent through this whole thing, but was present. So the picture that we have is that Eve was the one trying to control the situation, and Adam was the one not leading in the home. And here comes the devil. Here comes the serpent trying to seduce Adam's wife, and Adam stands there silent through this whole thing as Eve is carried away. This is a terrible picture. His wife is being led away into spiritual adultery. What should Adam have done? Well, he should have, right then and there, in righteous anger, crushed that serpent's head, and we wouldn't be in our mess. But he didn't. And that's why we have the need of a second Adam, the righteous one, Jesus Christ, who will come again and crush the head of Satan shortly, the book of Romans tells us. So what does the Lord do? Because of the passivity, because of the lack of headship, leadership, this passivity will now become a way of life, and his leadership will be characterized as one of domination and enforced submission and tyranny. Listen carefully to Genesis 3:16, saying to the woman, "Your desire shall be for your husband," and here it is, "and he shall rule over you." So because of a lack of submission on the woman's part, now the leadership she will receive will be passive, unwillingness to protect her from the corruption of the world, and one who will be prone toward what? Insensitivity, a lack of leadership in the home, spiritual apathy. And when he does exercise his authority, it will be a domineering one, insensitive and enforced. Now that's what the fall has brought. And we see that in marriage relationships today. The Lord is calling the man to return, to husbands to love their wives. How so? As Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He didn't force submission. He nurtured her. He cared for his bride. He made her beautiful. And she is a responding vessel to that love. Well, that's how the wife responds to the husband. Husbands, are you loving your wives as Christ loved the church? May we give ourselves for our wives' beauty, that they would be beautiful and spotless and without wrinkle in the day of Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church of Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.com. Any resources there for you to get to know us, who we are, and what we believe. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.